Welcome to part two of our conversation with Barnaby Capps about a real life haunted attraction. Let's talk about just kind of the area in general. Do you believe that that area itself holds a lot of ghost stories to it that may be a little bit, I would say, higher than other areas per square mile, if you were to say?
Pretty much all of Wisconsin. I mean, the state is pretty old in itself, but the city goes back quite a ways. You know, you have, like, Ripon and stuff is right there, and Ripon is the birthplace of the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's going way back, too. So this whole area of the state even has a lot of history, and the building, and, I mean, there's a lot of old architecture there. So it's possible. I mean, I've never done any other investigations in that city, though.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about it. We won't say the name of the location because I don't want to. Obviously, they're not on the air to say, yeah, you can talk about our location. But I want to talk about the what I mentioned earlier, that church.
Oh, yep.
Not necessarily, you know, promoted as a haunted location, but one hell of a place to go check out. And I have many a cool photos from in there, not necessarily paranormal, just the architecture and all of that. What do you know about that location in terms of it having any sort of activity at it or being, in fact, haunted?
Well, I was in there once. We went in just to check it out and stuff. And then after that is when I found out that one of my actor's parents owned it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, every time I was in town, I was there to work on the haunt. So I never got to go investigate or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I did hear like a couple of my actors had gone over there and like slept over and spent the night in there and that. And they came back with some interesting stories, just like feelings of being creeped out or stuff watching them.
Yeah.
And so I think it's pretty much, you know, known that it would have been haunted or suspected, but like I said, I never got a chance to actually investigate that or spend much time in, because when I went over there, I went over to buy props and stuff for the haunt.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the owner at the time or anything, or who. So
is it still functioning? Is it still open to this day?
I'm not sure. I believe it is.
Okay. Yeah, that was, I don't consider myself as sensitive by any stretch of the imagination, but there was a very weird, foreboding, negative feeling when you got towards the basement area that kind of led towards the house portion of it, where yep. I believe the priest probably lived, is my guess, at one point in time. Just that general area had a very dark, I don't know. And I don't know any stories of anything negative whatsoever. I'm just giving my own, you know, two cents on that weird feeling in that property. Tell me more, though, about as you're trying to run this thing, you're trying to run a haunted house with ghosts in it. What sort of obstacles does that present to you as an operator? You know, when you know you're trying to scare people, obviously, but in a controlled setting. I mean, does it create more challenges for you?
Me personally, I made my peace with it, and I told it after it threw the tree at me, I'm here to get stuff done. I need to get to work. You need to leave me alone. You know, I don't care if you come and mess with, you know, the customers and that. My mama, however, she reported several times we had powered plug-in drills. And remember, if we're out there working, there's maybe like two or three of us at a time out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're all there to work. And so she'd be working and all of a sudden her drill would come unplugged. So she'd have to go through the whole haunt, go to the power plug, plug it back in. It's just laying on the floor. She goes back in. It's unplugged again. She's got to walk all the way back out. And this happened on several occasions where, you know, it's not like somebody tripped over it or something like that. It just got unplugged. And she'd just like yell at him, all right, I'm trying to work, you know. We had stuff like that happen. We've had like tools get moved or, you know, leave it lay somewhere and it's not where it was, or stuff like that. A lot of electrical issues, some of my props would be, I'd get it all set up working fine, and then I'd go to test it, and it just absolutely wouldn't work. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't turn on, wouldn't do nothing. I'd walk away to get like a electrical tester or something to see if, you know, there's a wire broken or something. I'd come back, it'd work perfect. We had motion sensors and stuff in the haunt for the animatronics and that would just go off on their own repeatedly. Like something was standing in front of it, or just little electrical weird things like that would happen a lot.
Is there anything that, when you look at this, that your staff or anybody does that seems to trigger these sort of occurrences within the haunt?
No, the only thing I would say is that it tended to go more towards girls, but I do have, I think I have two or three males that said that they had interactions with stuff in there. So, but it was mostly the females that it tended to interact more with.
What were some of those reports that you got from those people?
From the guys? One of the guys was in the very back of the haunt, and I got a call on the walkie. He was one of my team leads, and he told me he was leaving the haunt, like going outside. He couldn't be in his room anymore because something was in there. And I'm like, okay. I went back there, and I found him standing outside like the exit of the haunt, and he's like, there's something in my room. I saw it. And I'm like, all right, well, let's go back in and look, you know. So I have a cat phone, and my cat phone has a built-in thermal imager in it. So I went in there, and I turned on the thermal imager, and I'm scanning. He said, okay, so this, you know, obviously you know how a haunt works. You come in one door, and you go out another.
Sure.
So the door to his room, he said something had, like, walked through, like, came towards him, like a black shadow figure.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, so we're going to put the thermal imager, and we're going to watch that area. So we're standing kind of like in a V. So we're kind of facing each other, and I'm holding the thermal imager up. He can't see, like, what's on the thermal imager. It's at a V to him.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, there's this, like, cold spot came into the room on my thermal imager, and at the same exact time, he like, flipped out and shot out the door. And he like, came back in, like, he just kind of, like, freaked out, went out of the room, came back in, like, a big circle, kind of. And I said, what, did you see that? And he goes, I saw the black shape there. So he couldn't see what was on my phone at the time. Mm-hmm. For the cold spot. And at the exact same time, you have the same interaction of him seeing something or feeling something and me getting the thermal image of it on the phone. So that was pretty cool. But
I can imagine so. I mean, has there ever been a time while you're doing all this where you say, too much? Like, this is more than I was asking for, or has it really added to the mystique of just doing what you're doing, a haunted attraction?
I think it added. You know, it was just like having an extra actor there, you know, mm-hmm. that could do, you know, and just be. It added to the creepy atmosphere of the whole place. Even when the tree flew at me, it was, it was intense in the moment, but going back the very next day and stuff, it was like, all right, I want you to do it again. You know, like, all right, I got a camera now, you know, let's go, you know, and it never did that intense again. We have gotten audio of a little girl out there, though.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, when we were doing, like, the after we closed and stuff, we'd sometimes do these paranormal investigations and that. And we'd walk, you know, pretty good chunk of the building, even if it wasn't part of the haunt, you know. And we came through this one area, and it was probably, we'll say, 300 feet away. There was a doorway by us, a middle big room, and then another doorway into another room. And me and Derek both saw the landlord walk across the room, like across that far doorway. And we're like, okay. So we walked over there, and I called out to him. He didn't answer. So we walked down there, and we're standing just inside that second doorway, and we're looking, don't hear anything, don't see anything, nothing. I walked through that whole area. He wasn't in there. So then I went back. I got home, and I watched the video back and stuff, and you don't really see him walk through the doorway mm-hmm. as we did when we were there. But when we got through that second doorway, there's a little girl's voice, and she says, I'm scared. And then we say something else, and then she says, scary. Now, there are only three people that I know in the building at this time. There was me, Derek, and my mom. Mm-hmm. And none of us have this voice. Like, this is a fourth completely different voice.
Yeah.
And that was probably the coolest actual recorded evidence that we got from that building.
It's interesting when you have something like that, like a little girl in a setting of an old tannery. I mean, there's no real logical reason why she would have ever spent any time there. How do you make sense of that? I mean, why? This is just an opinion-based question, but why do you think someone like that would be, you know, haunting a location such as this?
Well, I don't know. It could have been like maybe before the tannery was there, if, you know, there was a house or something, mm-hmm. or, you know, on the land. But like I said earlier, it could just be stuff that's attached to things in there. Mm-hmm. You know, if he had dolls or something that were attached to the little girl and now she's there. Or like we said, that carousel that was upstairs. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what the other group had said, you know, well, we think it's attached to there.
Yeah, sometimes the objects and such.
Yeah, so I don't really know why she was there, but I do clearly have a little girl and she says scary and I'm scared, and it was clear as day on the audio, and that was pretty cool.
What do you view the future is for this building? Obviously, you know, you're running it as a haunted attraction right now. It's a very old structure, and you know, there's kind of limited in terms of what one would use it for, you know, beyond what it's being repurposed for right now, at least in terms of, you know, our minds. Where do you see this property, you know, years from now?
Well, I'm not there anymore. Mm-hmm. We had a disagreement with the landlord and we left. Mm-hmm. And now there is another haunted house in there, and he's still doing like paranormal tours and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the last I had known, he was trying to renovate the building and keep it maintained and everything. Mm-hmm. Because the city had wanted it torn down. So I'm not sure exactly on what's going on with it, but as far as I know, he was doing a pretty good job of renovating it and keeping it up. He took all the grout and stuff out between all the cement, the bricks and everything in mm-hmm. our area, and redid all that, redid the roof. And so
what do you think happens? Again, we'll just close on this. It's an opinion-based question, but when a building like that does eventually kind of meet its demise, its time is done, and it can no longer really be used practically for anything. But clearly there are, you know, entities there. There's energies there. There's people that still are there that may not be living. What do you think happens to them once those buildings are taken down?
Oh, I don't know. I would think it's possible that with the building gone, their energy and their spirits can leave, because they're no longer attached to that physical property, mm-hmm. or they stay there because they're attached to the land itself, or they could go with parts of the building, you know, anything that was in there for, you know, machinery or anything, wherever that goes could still be attached if we're looking at like the objects and stuff. So I don't know.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Barnaby Capps about a real life haunted attraction. A big thank you to him for joining us and sharing his stories with us on today's episode of the program. Until next time, for the thank you.